you know, let me set the frame. You know, as a stock picker, long or short, you know, you don't wait for the news to come out. You create a thesis and try to anticipate the news. And, you know, you usually work with like 30% of the available information, then you bet capital on your thesis. And, you know, what you and I have been doing, you know, outside of our stock picking, just talking about what's going on in the world, you know, you and I use the same analytical skill sets. You don't need to see all the news to make a conclusion. You can see what people do and not what they say, and make statements that seem crazy at the time, but turn out to, you know, become true later. That's all I do. What's funny is when I do that, when it comes to like analyzing global events, I'm called a conspiracy theorist, but in the stock picking world, it's just making a bet. So have you found that to be true too? I mean, I know you've come to conclusions before all the news has come in, and, you know, people call you and I a conspiracy theorist. What's your view on that?
Well, I think whenever you're out front on something, you're going to take some arrows and try to dodge some bullets, but the, finance, Wall Street, whatever you want to call it, bonds, stocks, long, short, whatever, is not unlike when I worked in Intel for different government agencies and they ask you something and you go and you start putting stuff together. If you're right and you're right early, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what they call you, because what they're going to be calling you is again and again and again, because you're never going to go hungry. If you can predict, so-called predict, the future. Now, there's many different ways to do that. You can have prediction models. You can have great instincts on the street. You can have many different things, right? It doesn't matter how you get there, and it doesn't matter how many names they call you. The only thing that matters is results. And, you know, you're not going to hit everything, but you hit enough, you can become pretty secure pretty fast. But not only that, right, you teach others to trust their instincts too, and tune out all the garbage and name calling, whatever, you know. Trust your instincts, especially when it comes to news and when it comes to things like these fake vaccines, and just trust yourself, trust your gut.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, I don't know how you. So when I was when Operation Warp Speed was announced, I was like, oh, anything Operation Warp Speed sounds like a shit show because it's going to be rushed. And I also knew that vaccines take 7 to 10 years to get, you know, reasonable safety data before they're actually launched. So I didn't have the data that I have now, but my intuition was telling me, I'll wait till other people take it to see what happens. And, you know, right around June, July is when I really started to become concerned for everybody that I knew, because the data was starting to trickle in that it was a shit show. Heavily suppressed, by the way, by our tech overlords and the mainstream media. You know, I also view them as culpable in what's happened. I mean, this couldn't have happened without their silence and or active suppression of the truth. And this is going to, you know, I view this as a multi-siloed fraud called meta fraud. There's, you know, pharma, which obviously that's where the fraud originated. Then you got media and tech censoring the truth. They're going to benefit from pharma spend and then ancillary businesses of setting up the tech security state. And then you got the government, which was corrupted because of, you know, revolving door, actual bribes, who knows. And then, you know, also just more control and power. So, I mean, it's a multi-siloed fraud. And, you know, once people see it and step back, it's pretty amazing to see. And it's going to unravel. I mean, I have no doubt it's going to unravel. What do you think?
I think we're starting to see. I talked about it the other day. I explained to our listeners and our viewers the steps of an investigation. And from the side of somebody who's an investigator, whether it's, you know, a gumshoe or whether it's somebody doing forensic accounting or whatever it is, fraud, white-collar fraud, and the other side of that coin where the criminal knows at some point, or the perpetrators, anybody who's complicit in the scheme knows at some point, it's over. It's just a matter of time before they come and they're exposed. Now, whether they get arrested, has nothing to do with this, right? It's about it's about exposing it. This isn't a TV show where everybody gets arrested at the 58-minute mark and everybody feels warm and fuzzy. It usually doesn't work that way. So I think the wheels are coming off, and I think the fact that they're almost basically overnight trying to shut this down, like, it's over, coronavirus is over, everybody can, you know, that is a sign of desperation to me, where they understand that there's mounting evidence and there's serious concern on their side. Now, that's just a regular byproduct of a scheme, and they're trying to, you know, double down, triple down on a cover-up, et cetera, like almost like a last-ditch effort. But I think I've said for a long time, they're not going to be able to keep a lid on this, and number one. And number two, the truth always comes out. It just takes time. And unfortunately, in this instance, this is a very unique situation, because usually if you're investigating an Enron or something like that, the damage is already done, right? They've already bilked everybody, and you're going back and you're trying to find out what happened. But this is different because it's still happening, and this isn't just about money. It's people are dying and people are getting injured. So this is a very strange and unique situation. But so the fraud continues, even though I think it's tail end fraud. And now they're going to start pumping this into little kids, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it's almost like the last gasp. Let's get these little kids, you know. We still got a little bit of a market left here. Let's see what we can. I mean, it's literally insane. These people are.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And, you know, my goal here is to save as many lives as possible and disability as possible, because this is just disgusting what's going on. Right before I got on with you, I put out a tweet that just spoke to what you just said. I wrote, I've seen the institutional imperative from companies my whole career in fraud after fraud. It was only money then. This current push of the vaccine institutional imperative has caused death and disability with the help of global governments. The truth outing will cause absolute chaos. And you know what the institutional imperative is. Warren Buffett's term to describe the way that management teams, generally for reasons of greed, manage their company to the benefit of the institution rather than the shareholder. So this is not a company per se. It's a meta fraud, multi-siloed. But people have become rich off of the death and disability of others, and it's really that simple.
And you know what you just laid out 5-10 minutes ago was very prophetic. Because I think we look at things through the prism of being Americans and the financial markets in America, this is playing out globally. This isn't just this is every country, and you know, other folks, we hear from folks all over the world, they're going through this too, and it really is something, the way they rolled this out to everybody and tried to stuff this down everybody's throat. You know what? And they have stuck a needle into a lot of people, billions of people, four and a half plus billions of people have lined up for these things. And, you know, God bless these people, man. I don't know.
Well, you know, I feel bad for a lot of people because they were definitely duped by one of the greatest psyops you and I have ever seen. I mean, this was a coordinated actual psyop. The evidence is coming out that this was sheer propaganda. Nuremberg codes were dispensed with. Informed consent was dispensed with. And people were, you know, told to do the right thing. And if those of us who didn't, we were being selfish. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like this in my life. And, you know, the fallout from this is going to be immense. And, you know, you have to, you know, look, when I was trying to explain to people what's going on, I'm like, look, let's forget about conspiracy theories. This is good old fashioned greed and power. And they go, well, what do you mean greed? I go, well, let me tell you what Pfizer's potential revenues could be if they are successful in mandating this vaccine quarterly. Basically, let's assume there's, you know, there's 7 billion people on the planet. They don't get all 7. They get 5 billion. Pfizer's market share is 50%. So that's 2.5 billion quarterly at $35 a dose. They go, their revenues go from $52 billion to $350 billion overnight. That's a six-fold increase. If you don't think that's enough incentive to bribe government officials, you're naive. And, you know, there's a story that the New Zealand, this hasn't been verified yet, but there was a story floating around. I don't know if you saw it, that the Prime Minister of New Zealand, that woman, the horse face, Jacinda, her net worth went from like 400,000 to 25 million. So I did the math on that. You know, let's assume that's correct. That hasn't been verified, but Pfizer or whoever invests 25 million in her to mandate 5 million people on the island in New Zealand. Pfizer gets 2.5 million of those people. That's 287, that's approximately 290 million in revenue just year one. So they bribe her. This is all, of course, in my opinion. I don't have any proof, but I just want to show how easy it is in the return on investment. You give her 25 million, Pfizer or whoever gets 290 million in year one and then gets that as a perpetual cash flow if they're able to carry off the scheme. And she's actually on record saying this will never end and you're going to get quarterly jabs. So the return on investment is immense. And all you have to do is bribe someone who's in power.
Well, Jacinda Ardern, who's the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who you're talking about, she has, from minute one, been all in. This is like, you know, if you watch a poker game, it's like you play your first hand. If you're in a World Series of Poker, you know, it's like a grind. And your first hand, this crazy bitch says, I'm all in. What? What are you talking about? Who is this woman? And so that's what she did. It's like the first hand, all in. We're all in here. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So, yeah. So you would look at that. From a fraud perspective, you'd say, oh, all right, well, that's somebody we want to get under a hot light. And you know what's funny about these people, man? They will sing like canaries. These people are not built to not rat out people because they're rats to begin with. But if it ever gets to that point, it could get very interesting. But the scheme is so big, you have to doubt that it'll ever get to that point. But
there is doubt. But I will say this. If it becomes politically untenable and they can't hide the vaccine injuries and deaths, I suspect the politicians that have been bribed will turn on the CEOs of these drug manufacturers. Then it starts. Then the old meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other comes into reality. You know, the way to end this is through massive noncompliance. The people that took this that are the COVIDian cultists feeling betrayed, and then political pressure swaying and politicians starting to rat out others. That's the only way it's going to happen. And it has to be massive noncompliance. And Dr. Peter McCullough came out and said, look, if we stop taking boosters, this thing ends. And he just said, don't get the booster. And then, any corporation that's going to start mandating boosters is going to start to feel a lot of pressure from people given the data that's about to come out. By the way, I think Q4 insurance death and disability results are going to be reported. Well, it's going to come out in the first week of February is when we start to hear from the major insurance companies. We already saw One America spill the beans. Aegon also in their third quarter saw their American unit, their U.S. unit saw death alone claims go from 31 million in 2020, when COVID was raging, by the way, to 111 million in the third quarter. Their fourth quarter results are coming out in February. But the point being that we're about to be hit with confirmation of the insurance actuarial claims that started coming out in January. So this is, money talks, bullshit walks. Once this starts being aired and it's a different, vertical than the VAERS database, which people can, squawk about all day long, it's going to get real. And you're not going to be able to hide a 40% all-cause mortality increase and not talk about the vaccines. It's just not going to happen.
Well, you bring up a great point. Aegon, of course, is a Dutch insurer. It has a huge amount of, most of its market is in the United States. So they come out, and I'm going to get to an interesting point that somebody in the insurance business told me just last night after I talk about this real quick, but I'll throw this in. So they have 66% of their business in the United States, and their mortality claims in the third quarter, you're talking about fourth quarter's come out, were $111 million. The previous year, the same time, were $31 million a year earlier. That's quite a – and then Swiss Re, depending on how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Their related claims in the third quarter for death claims, $1.2 billion the first 9 months of 2021. I mean, that is – and that – they won't even tell you what it was a year earlier. They don't want to freak anybody out. They just say it was $1.2 billion in the third quarter. What was it in 2020? We're not saying. I mean, it's like, you know, we want to light a forest fire. And then MetLife, the same thing, 40%. And MetLife released some really interesting statistics. They took it a step further in their third quarter, 40% of U.S. COVID deaths were of people under age 65 years old. I mean, that is what?
Yep.
And now, Aegon. So, and then there was another one. It was Swiss Re, and then there was Munich Re. Munich Re.
Munich Re, MetLife. They're all going to start. This is, and One America kicked it off. I found that article, saw the Chamber of Commerce, and I got it to the, you know, people who could amplify it better than me. Zero Hedge picked it up. And that's when Wall Street started waking up, by the way. Moderna was already in a decline, but Pfizer was not that far off its all-time highs. Pfizer went down 8% that week. Because, you know, look, this is, you know how this works. You're a Wall Street guy. You know, you hear rumors and you can blow it off because you look at, you know, a portfolio manager will look at their stock price. Oh, my Pfizer's not down on that news. It doesn't mean anything. But when that Zero Hedge article came out about One America's, some people said, hey, okay, I'm going to sell some Pfizer today. That's weird. So this is the beginning. The cracks are beginning. And it's what's beautiful about this is guys like you and me are going to highlight the insurance companies, and we're going to make Jim Cramer talk about this and defend his idiocy. That's how this happened.
You know, I understand about Cramer. He's almost like a cartoon. He's there for a reason, just the same reason CNBC is there for a reason. I mean, I used to work in the New York market in journalism, and CNBC was in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and we just used to say, how are these people even still on the air? It's the same people, by the way. When I was watching CNBC, when they first started in the late 90s, it's the same people. They're still there. It's like, what? You guys. But, yeah, Cramer is unbelievable. Let me ask you this. At what point does it get where the actuaries, insurance companies say, nah, I don't think we're going to pay these claims anymore? This is based on a potentially fraudulent serum, and it's experimental. And if you took it and you died, well, you know what? You're not getting paid out. And good luck if you want to lawyer up and come after us.
Well, there was a story that wasn't verified out of France where supposedly a insurance company refused to pay the claim of the person from the vaccine death, or the family of the vaccine victim. And they said, well, this is an experimental drug. You should have known. Now, that hasn't been verified. It's being reported by the person who sued the insurance company. So if that actual court case, because we don't have the court documents, if that's a real court case and a real court document, that's explosive. They're very explosive. Hasn't been verified 100% yet, but it rings true to me. you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And here's the thing, right? You got Big Pharma. Everybody's, ooh, big, bad, Big Pharma. Okay. You got big insurance too. That's a hell of a cage match. I mean, when they start cut, I said, when, when this starts cutting in, it already is cutting in, right? I mean, you're talking about 40% in a quarter. That is, it's devastating. When this continues to cut into the investment income of these companies like Aegon, et cetera, you know, they'll cover it for now because they're making money. But at some point, they're going to be sitting in a room saying, we can't do this anymore. We're not going to be around.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Plain and simple. It's just very black and white. These guys are killers, man. No pun intended. It's like, no, we're not paying anymore. And that's it. And you know, let's get the lawyers lined up and let's get ready to go to war because we're just not going to pay it. And then these folks will line up and say, it's time to take on the pharmaceutical companies. Let's get some discovery and let's see what this was all about back in the day.
Once the trial lawyers get involved in this discovery, that's when the kimono opens up and the floodgates open. You know, it gets wild and woolly then. That's further down the road once the stock prices are already beaten into submission. You know what was interesting about the One America CEO? He missed the plot. He said that they were going to raise premiums in the unvaccinated counties because he didn't make the connection or he didn't want to make the connection. But what's interesting is in Florida, data came out that counties with lower vaccination rates aren't seeing as many COVID cases. So I suspect his supposition that the unvaccinated counties will see premium increases is actually going to be reversed at some point once he either cops to the truth or he was misinformed by, because you know in corporate America people don't like to give the big guy bad news. So at some point the actuary is going to go, no, actually it's the unvaxxed counties where there's fewer deaths. That'll come to light soon because it doesn't make any sense to me what he said. They were going to raise premiums in unvaccinated counties. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, he could have misspoke, or like you said, he was just given. Or you know what it is? I mean, this guy isn't from MetLife. You know, the spotlight's on, and maybe he's not used to doing public speaking. There's many different things. Some of these times, these guys just trip over their own words, or they get confused, or you know, in fairness to this guy, he never thought that this little Zoom thing he was on would be something that would go viral. So
no, he didn't know that.
Yeah, you're not necessarily guarded when you're doing something like that. You know what I mean?
I made sure it went viral because it was when I saw that, you know, my analytical mosaic theory went into, okay, verification, it's a shit show.
Well, it's more, you see these things going to what, stock-wise, let's say $5 for Pfizer?
Yeah, Pfizer, you know, my thesis is when this all gets outed, and it'll take time, Pfizer will play what we call the front nine and go below 10. It'll be a sub $10 stock, and five is realistic. Zero is not a zero probability. There's some, you know, I believe it should go to zero, but you know how these things work. It'll go to five, they'll settle the case, and then it'll go to 10. One of those stupid things, you know, like Wall Street loves to, you know, anticipate like the settlement and then buy the stock ahead of that. But there'll be a settlement, and it'll be the biggest fine ever. Will the CEO go to jail? You know, who knows? But, you know, I'm just trying to prevent death and destruction. And one of the ways to do that is to pummel stocks into submission and have the financial press have to talk about this. Because, you know, the thing we need to do, you and I, is to get the word out that these vaccines are deadly. It's the most, you know, Steve Kirsch did an analysis. He's the Silicon Valley entrepreneur who got vaccinated, who realized because he's an engineer and super, you know, I think he's a genius. He basically realized there were too many anecdotal stories in his immediate circle that, you know, from a probability standpoint shouldn't have happened. He then started to look at this, and he's done all the analysis with a bunch of people that are working for him. And he said it's the most deadliest vaccine in the history of the planet to date. I mean, ever.
Yeah, it's not. It's hands down. You just look at the You can just look at VAERS, and that's far underreported in VAERS. It's brutal. And the stories you hear just from people that you know or associates or acquaintances, it's vicious. What they've done here is really something else.
Well, and not only, in a normal vaccine, there's going to be adverse reactions, but they're so statistically insignificant. You and I should never hear an anecdotal story. I mean, but the fact that Steve Kirsch has friends that have been injured or died, you know, people that have died, I know people that have died. And, you know, it should, that in and of itself is an abomination statistically. And, you know, Kirsch is on record saying, depending upon the underreporting factor in VAERS, he says if you use all the conservative ones, a minimum of 150,000 Americans have died. He says it could be over 400,000 at this point.
And we're just getting started. I mean, these things can. We don't know how this plays out long term, and you have to think it's not going to be pretty. That could just be literally getting the ball rolling. I mean,
well, I have because of my profile in this, people from Wall Street that I used to know have been reaching out or wanting to get to talk to me, and I've been talking to former healthcare sell side analysts that no longer are working on Wall Street. One of them is a doctor, actual doctor, who's quite accomplished. What her job was to look at the clinical trial data, then tell her clients, you know, what to make of it. And she knew this was a shit show from the beginning. I'm asking her about the boosters, and she says she looks at all the early studies and indications, and what she says to me is that the vaccine injuries and death seems to be dose dependent. So, meaning if you got your first two jabs and you didn't have an adverse reaction, each subsequent booster increases your chances of death or disability. So, this booster thing is really going to accelerate it. And it looks like, you know, Citibank is going to fire everybody sometime this month if you don't get it. Corporations still are plowing ahead with these mandates. Wall Street seems to be all over the mandates for some reason. And they're going to get sued into oblivion. And, you know, I was talking to a smart hedge fund guy who said, and I quote, you know, I'm going to start to worry about counterparty risk at some point from the lawsuits to some of these large banks that are pushing forward on these mandates. So you
now explain to people what you're talking about there.
So let's say Citibank decides to fire all these,
right,
or to fire people and force people. And so people who are, you know, in economic positions where they feel like they have to have a job, get the booster. Then it comes to light there was fraud. And I'm talking down the road. Let's talk 12 to 18 months. And it comes out that it was fraud. And then Citigroup class action lawsuit comes, and it could be so big that it affects the capital of Citibank. And if you're a counterparty to Citibank, you start to worry. You increase the amount of collateral you understand the repo market. A lot of banks do overnight funding with short term overnight money, and they start to increase the haircuts of the collateral you need to leave, whether, you know, they use treasury securities, and you start doing that, then there's a run on the bank. So this could, in theory, somewhere down the line cause counterparty risk to some of these banks that are pushing these mandates, who don't know that they're like potentially shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, that's very theoretical, but it could happen. And that smart hedge fund guy pointed that out to me. I had not even gotten that far down the road. I'm just trying to stop the vaccines. But